It took a gaffe by a government minister delivered during a live debate in front of a disbelieving audience to shake up the 2011 fiscal treaty referendum campaign. The last word 2-hour debate in May 17th between the yes and no sides was flying already, before Richard Bruton raised the possibility of running the referendum again for a second time if the government side lost. Within half an hour, this was the main news story in all stations, including RT TV News, and Richard Bruton was forced into a series of climb-down interviews. But what this extract emphasises is not just the last word's ability to set the news agenda, but the excellence of its regular big live audience debates, as have taken place at previous elections such as the presidential one and referenda, involving heavy-hitting and carefully selected contributors. In this debate, we had Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald, Fianna Fáil's Micheál Martin, businesswoman Nicola Byrne, trade unionist John Douglas and UKIP leader Nigel Farage, of an MEP, as well as Richard Bruton. This particular debate may have hit the headlines, but it only served to emphasise the programme's consistent dedication to highlighting the issues that matter, as confirmed in a recent academic study by Dublin City University into the 2011 general election campaign, which put the programme in first place on radio when it came to dealing with the relevant issues. We start our extract with the MEP of the UKIP, Nigel Farage, when he challenged the government's stance that a yes vote would guarantee Ireland access to funds.
You keep saying that by saying yes to this and then accepting the second treaty, the other treaty that you don't like to talk about very much, the ESM treaty, that somehow this guarantees funding for Ireland. In fact, rather the reverse is true, as you know, because you will actually be paying into the ESM. Your first payment of 250 million euros goes in July. Your next payment of another 250 million goes in October. You are actually signing the Irish people up to a liability of 11 billion. Euros, and given, unless you haven't read the newspapers, that countries like Spain, which are seven times the size of the Irish economy, are on the verge of being bailed out, far from you being beneficiaries of this treaty, you actually will be paying to bail out the Mediterranean. So please, please, can we have an honest debate? You won't be earning money or receiving money from this treaty. You will be massive net payees.
Can I just deal with that?
Micheál Martin, indeed, because remember, when you were in government, Brian Lenihan committed us to an investment alone to Greece back in May 2010, yeah, okay, which we were told we would be repaid. What do you think the chances of getting that money back are?
Matt, you're chairing the debate now, okay?
We have three
on the yes and three on the no. I think let the three on the yes and the three on the no argue it out without trying to skew it in terms of the questions that have been
Excuse
put.
Me, well, I will ask questions of either side, right. Micheál.
I just want to deal with...
I am neutral in this. I am not going to vote in this.
Okay,
so don't try
Hold on a second, just relax, Matt. Don't get too uppity.
You started this, if you don't answer the question.
Don't get too uppity now. Just relax, Matt, now, okay? And I deal with it. I just want to... Sorry, you're with Nigel. I think Nigel is arguing. Just keep quiet.
From the audience, please, if you can let them...
Just a number of basic points. Ireland will need 18 billion in 2014. Not 500 million or whatever. 18 billion. 10 billion represents the deficit that we will have in 2014, and 8 billion represents a maturing loan that will have to be repaid. Now, John and everybody said, we don't want a second bailout. I can tell you one thing. A bailout basically means borrowing money at affordable rates rather than excessive rates on the market. It's that simple. And borrowing money, why? To pay for fundamentally and overwhelmingly for public services. That's the number one question that faces us in 2014 after this bailout.
Sorry.
We have two choices. We can either borrow from the market if the market will lend at affordable rates. We can't govern that in its entirety because of unforeseen circumstances or whatever the situation in the Eurozone crisis will be then. Or alternatively, we can sign up for a treaty which does guarantee us definite access to that fund in 2014 and 2015. That is the bottom line in a practical sense as to why we should vote for the treaty. The next point I would make is this. The lie at the heart of the no campaign, and it's a big lie, is that a no vote means more cuts relative to a yes vote. And that is a complete untruth. Because the bottom line is, anything that's in the fiscal treaty is already in the Stability and Growth Pact in terms of the deficit, in terms of the medium-term objectives, and in terms of the debt reduction.
Okay,
and if you don't believe me, if people don't believe me on that, I would invite Matt or any other independent objective analyst like Matt, invite in Carl Whelan, invite in Seamus Coffey, economist in UCC, invite Professor John McHale. Ask them to lay out the medium-term tables from now to 2020 in terms of what this treaty would mean, and they'll give an honest answer.
The biggest lie in the yes campaign at the moment is that what you said, Micheál Martin, is that we need the money to pay public sector workers. We don't. We need the money to pay off bankers.
In the month of April alone,
we'll pay $6 billion back. $6 billion back in bonds. Now, that's coming out of the Irish economy. You can't run an Irish economy when over a million people have less than 100 euros a month left to spend. No, how would you run an economy that way?
Can we deal with that specific point? Because I need to go to a break now.
Micheál, if you actually look at what analysts are saying, they do the projections and they look from 2015 onwards, and they state very categorically that this treaty will cost in the region of €6 billion euro.
That is a lie. That is a complete lie.
In additional,
they do not
cuts.
Say that. Where do they say that? Name an economist who says that.
Well, if Michael Taft, for instance, is it Michael Taft?
He's a Unite Trade Union.
You know perfectly well.
Would you accept? Is Unite Trade Union who are against the treaty? I'm talking about people like Carl Whelan, Professor McHale. They will say to you, for example, debt reduction comes in after 2018, not 2015. Structural deficit is something you have to aim towards, not in 2016. Nowhere in this treaty says €6 billion. You have an obligation to spell out where it says it.
Hold on a second.
Where does it say it?
The treaty states...
Stop going on saying that
the
lie every time.
The treaty states very, very clearly that there will be an obligation on this state to run a structural deficit of 0.5%. Yeah. Now, the government's own figures for 2015 say that we would be somewhere over 3% on that measure. You have to bridge, you have to get from 3% to 0.5. And that amounts to in the region of €6 billion euro of additional cuts.
The treaty is simply providing that we move from a target of 1%, which we've already fully signed up to 0.5%. We have already made commitments. Let me ask.
Well,
we've already
it was a one-voice policy.
We're getting back to that now. I've been consistently interrupted.
But the truth is, I'm going to leave Mary Lou an opportunity to finish her point, Minister, and then you can come in, okay?
Not alone is there a requirement to make that reduction and the associated €6 billion in cuts, that reduction would be policed and overseen by the European Commission in the first instance. And if Ireland doesn't measure up in terms of meeting those targets, the European Court of Justice has jurisdiction, including fine. It's all there in the treaty. And it's one of the issues that you have.
I'm going to let John Douglas add in support of Mary Lou before I go back to the S side. John Douglas of the Mandate Trade Union.
Well, first of all, I mean, coming from a government which told us, you know, as recent as 2 months ago, that we wouldn't have to be going back looking for a second bailout, that everything was on course, it was full steam ahead, the economy was recovering. Now we're looking, you know, for a second bailout. So that's proof that it's not working. Not only are we looking for a second bailout, but there's no such thing as free money. This money ain't coming from your auntie in America. There will be huge conditionality placed on this second bailout. If you think the conditionality placed on the first bailout was bad, lowering the minimum wage, which Micheál had no problem doing, the lowest paid workers, you took a euro an hour off them.
Increased it dramatically over 10 years, John.
Hold on for a second. Your only solution to the first problem is to take a euro an hour off the lowest paid workers in this country, right? To be fair to the present government, they increased it after a huge campaign with the trade union movement. But there's no such thing as free money coming from America. There will be conditions in relation to this, very austere conditions. Correct. And can I just say something, right? The 500 ESM fund, right, that we're all talking about and that Richard wants access and you want access to, it'll pale into significance, into total insignificance. If the Greeks pull out of the euro, they're talking about a cost of €1 trillion. €1 trillion. And if that happens, the Spanish fall off the side of the cliff. Your €500 billion ESM fund won't fund diddly squat.
I want to go back to Minister Richard Bruton. Just imagine that the decision of the Irish people is no. What are you going to say to your counterparts in Europe?
Well, the Irish people have yet to make a decision.
No, you have to have a plan B. If your plan A of a yes vote doesn't work, you have to have a plan B. What will you go back and tell the European Commission and all the other governments in the Eurozone?
Well, I suppose we will have to say that we will need access to this fund, and I think Ireland will be looking to say, can we vote again? Because we will need access to this fund.
Sorry, are you suggesting that if there is a no vote, that this government will look to rerun the election?
No, I'm saying that we will have a crisis on our hands, but we will have a crisis on our hands, and we will face a really difficult situation in funding ourselves. That's it. That is the reality, and this is different from any other treaty. The countries who sign up to this will go ahead with without us. We will be isolated at that point. We will not have access to funding. We will be forced to look to the markets as the source of funding, and that will be a source which will be extremely risky. At the moment, we're already, the markets will be charging almost 5% more than we get from the European fund. We need access to this fund. We need to set out the reasons why. We need it for not only for funding government services, but we need it if we want to rebuild a recovery around a sound investment strategy. We need that confidence that this will give.
Nigel Farage, what response do you think would Ireland get if it went back and said, no, we didn't, we got a no vote, we can't deliver what we promised to? What do you think the European Commission, the European Central Bank, or the governments would say to us?
An Irish no vote really is the last little problem they're going to worry about in Europe at the moment. Spain is about to go bankrupt. A bailout for Spain is going to be needed within weeks. It is, I repeat, seven times the size of the Irish economy. You will, if you vote yes, be isolated, because you'll just about be the only people that have actually committed to this treaty when the rest of Europe has made it clear they don't want the thing.
And what about if we were asked to vote a second time?
Well, I thought the minister's answer there was very telling, because clearly democracy in Ireland appears to have died. Because your political class, you know, whether you vote no to Lisbon, whether you vote no to Nice, they make you vote again. And you have to go on voting again and again and again until you get the answer that the Irish politicians and their German masters want.
Michael
and
Martin,
I must say, I think it really is rather shaming,
a
isn't it?
Vote
rather
say,
shaming.
Can I just say about Nigel Farage? I mean, Nigel Farage.
Here we go. Here we go. The abuse. Go for the player, not the ball. You always do, Mr. Martin.
Sorry, I'm going to deal with
you're
the
good
argument.
At that.
I'm going to deal with your argument.
Yeah,
sir.
Go on. Oh, really? That makes a nice change.
Yeah, because you don't have an argument. You want the European Union broken up. That's your policy. You're honest about it. That's your agenda.
I believe in.
You're not.
I believe in nation state democracy.
You are not interested in Ireland per se. You are interested in Britain coming out of the European Union. That is your agenda.
No, I want a free Europe.
Don't be
Europe.
Trying to pretend to people of Ireland that you're concerned about their situation.
I want a free
you
Europe.
You are not. Tell you what the free Union.
What you
Europe.
Want is you to want give away out, to Irish independence.
You want to be out
after
of the European Union.
After nine decades of independence,
you want
to give it away.
You don't give a damn about Irish independence.
The Irish people fought for
you don't give a damn about Irish independence.
You don't give a
damn.
Shame on you.
You don't give a damn about Irish independence. And the very fact
you
that you're
a collaborator,
platform with Sinn Féin says it all in terms of the thing.
So I would put it to you. That's a very, very serious allegation to throw at Nigel Farage. Do you want to withdraw that? To our live debate on the referendum. We're going to go over to the audience and we're asking Simon O'Keefe, please, to ask the next question. Simon, if you've got the microphone there.
As a university student, how does each option, a yes or a no vote, affect my prospects of finding a job in this country?
Thank you. Minister Richard Bruton.
Well, I think they significantly enhance your prospects if we have a yes vote. I think what we've seen in the last 12 months is international confidence has returned to Ireland. IDA had the best 12 months for employment creation that they've had in decades. The last quarter of employment figures that we have in the CSO show that the first time on a seasonally adjusted basis, employment has begun to recover in this economy after 4 years of difficulty. Indigenous companies supported by E&I have stabilised their employment levels. So we are at a point where we can build on a fragile recovery, and we need the confidence that this vote, a yes vote, would give to build on that. We have a long way to go. There's a lot of work to be done, but I think, you know, some of the most creative and ambitious companies in the world are picking Ireland as the best place to do business, and we want to sustain that progress that we've achieved by giving the certainty that this treaty would provide us with.
Nicola Byrne, an employer, a yes or no, will it make any difference to people like Simon?
If I tell the truth, will I get shot because I'm on the yes side? I actually don't think it'll make any difference at the moment to whether you vote yes or no. But
he signed on the job yesterday.
I know, and I've created 80 jobs, darling, from nothing. And actually, on the other side of the table are the people who cost me a job 20 years ago. So I know exactly what it's like to be unemployed. So let's be fair about this. I don't believe the no vote are going to bring anything to the table in terms of this. I think what I need as a public a private sector employer is I need the focus on creating jobs, not farting around in treaties and running around the country like a lunatic trying to protect the state. We need certainty that I know where the money's coming from to fund the public sector who are funding the private sector. So you're damn sure I want a yes vote so we can put this to bed and get on with it. I want to create jobs. I want to work. I don't know if anyone's missed this in the room. I don't understand why we spend so much time letting UK people come in and tell us to vote no. We are able to look after ourselves. We are well competent people.
Nigel Farage, do you want to respond to that because you were named there specifically?
Well, it's extraordinary, isn't it? That, you know, as I say, there are 90 MEPs in Killarney tonight telling the Irish, from all over Europe, telling the Irish to vote yes. So one person turns up from Britain, and that's considered to be absolutely wrong and evil. I would be suspicious, in answer to your question, sir, suspicious when the establishment parties tell you it's good for jobs. After all, Lisbon too was vote yes for jobs, if you remember. They were the big posters, vote yes for jobs, and at least 120,000 jobs have been lost since that time. Within the next few months, whether the vote's yes or no, directly, it'll make no difference to employment prospects in Ireland. But, by voting yes, by committing yourselves to having your future monetary policy decided not ever by the electorate through your own parliament in Dublin, but to be decided by the institutions of the European Union, you are headed down a slippery slope. One of the great successes that Ireland has had is a very competitive corporate tax base. It's made an awful lot of companies come into Ireland, particularly into Dublin. There is no doubt that that corporate tax level that you enjoy in this country is now directly under threat. And by saying yes to this treaty and by meshing yourselves ever closer into the European Union, you will lose competitiveness, you will lose your corporate tax advantage, and you will lose jobs. So be caught.
No, I think it just answered a specific question. Finish your degree, get the best degree possible. It will make you more employable, hopefully. Will that job be in Ireland? I don't know. Honestly, I have a son who's in Australia, went last October, saw no future here in Ireland for himself. I have a daughter heading to London in July. So, fortunately, that might be the reality facing you, but finish your degree, get a good degree, it'll make you more employable, hopefully it'll be in your own country.
Micheál Martin, the question was asked in relation to how would it affect job prospects?
I can't say to Simon that a yes vote is going to guarantee you a job. I certainly can't comprehend how a no vote will guarantee you a job. What I can say is I think a yes vote will improve investor confidence in Ireland. And I would point to the 95% of people who create jobs in Ireland, who provide employment in Ireland, who were surveyed in the last week. They've all said that it's better for employment to vote yes. So the actual people who are in Irish companies or who are in multinational companies giving employment in Ireland right now are saying vote yes. And I think their word is probably better than mine, to be frank, or anybody else who's not in the employment providing situation directly as an employer.
Okay.
That's what they're saying.
Fiona O'Connor has the next question for us, please. We get the microphone to you, Fiona. Thank you.
Does the panel think the 20-year timescale to reduce our budget deficit to 60% of GDP can be met?
Richard Bruton.
Yes, I do. I think the 20-year timescale, it clearly it hinges on inflation and growth, as well as the requirement to reduce our dependent on borrowing. So we have a number of things we have to do. And I think the crucial thing is that we get growth going again in this country. If we vote no, we plunge ourselves into a huge amount of uncertainty. And I should say, I clarify, you know, there is no question of a second vote on this. There will.
So why are you clarifying that now? It's what you said quite specifically earlier.
I'm retracting what I said. And there's nothing wrong with being honest. You know, government has made it clear that it will there will be no second vote, and I just want to clarify that. This is a debate. This is we can all make mistakes. But I do believe really strongly, and I work every day seeking to get more employment into this country, and to people who say we need to build employment as the solution to our debt problem as well as everything else are correct. That is the key thing. We do need to get more people back to work. But you do have to ask yourself, is the route to employment to follow people who are invested, the 75 employer organizations, multinational companies who've invested, indigenous companies who invested, people who see the economy turning. Do you put your faith in those? Do you put your faith in Europe, which has allowed us to create 800,000 extra people at work? Or do you put your faith in parties who are on the no side this time and have opposed Europe at every hand's turn? From 72 when we joined, at every single treaty, these parties have opposed. Now, I think that's the track record of the parties who are advising on this.
Because the no side has had more time, so I'm only going to give you 15 seconds.
I think where people's confidence has to lie when they're making their decision is in their own judgment and their own experience. And the policies we have had to date have hundreds of thousands of people out of work with no prospect of work. So, you know, if it hasn't worked thus far, it is an absolute farce for you to argue that somehow it's going to turn around. The best judge of future results is results in the past.